Reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. Coming to you every day.
Welcome back to the TEDx.Vila special series of shows in the run-up to the 29th of March. Very, very excited to be back this year once again with our brand new theme, Future Footsteps. And super excited to introduce our second guest, who is, of course, yet another architect. And he, as Rolf mentioned in the previous episode of this radio show series, that he likes to hand on the baton. So Rolf is technically handing the baton on to Mr. Finn Harries.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much for making the time to pop in here today and join us to talk about TEDx.Vila. Obviously, your talk is going to be sort of focusing on the theme of regenerative design, which is obviously something you'd actually do for a living in general here at Hundtoft Farm as one of the key designers and the architect that kind of put the whole project together. Maybe you can sort of tell us a little bit about that initially.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a real journey over the last sort of decade of my life, starting as a young sort of designer, following a more traditional architectural route. I started my studies back in New York and found very quickly a sort of conflict with my passion for design and urban spaces and then the impact they're having on the environment. And so I was struggling to like bring the two together, like how can we create spaces that don't damage the health of the environment. And a sort of long story short is that journey, that question, has taken me out to Ibiza, where I've been living for the last 2 years, and was the reason that I became involved with Hundtoft Farm. And so we're a team there, right in the heart of Ibiza, working on this old dairy farm that's been abandoned for nearly a decade now. And we are working to try and regenerate it. So we're trying to reimagine a space that was once used to produce dairy and hamburgers as a community space focused entirely on local food production. And the method of farming that we specialize in, that we work with, is regenerative agriculture. And so there's a whole world in there, and there are many different definitions of what regenerative agriculture is. But the best way to describe, you know, what we're doing is it's a sort of living lab and a lighthouse project. And we really start by feeding the soil, and in turn, the soil feeds us.
I have been to quite a few community events there actually, and it really feels that you're being fed and nourished and nurtured as soon as you walk into the space in so many ways, not just the connections that you make, but just the environment itself just feels like a very visionary place as well, which who would ever have thought that a farm of that size, I think, in space and place would ever kind of really, be reimagined, as you put it. So it's a really amazing thing. You're essentially trying to rebirth the food system of Ibiza.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the city in London, and so I have the experience that I think many people have had of being quite disconnected from where my food comes from. And I think also, like many people, during COVID and in as I learned more about the environmental crisis, I became really interested in what does it look like to reconnect with the source of my own nutrition. And so that's really what the project tries to do, is we really like this idea of putting the culture back in agriculture. We have sort of like two ideas of the farm in our mind. I think when we think about farming today, one is of the sort of like the romantic version of the red tractor that we're sort of like we grow up on, and then the other is the sort of reality that we instinctively know is true, which is this sort of industrial monocultural landscape. And I think what we're trying to do is expand that idea we have in our minds. Like, what if farming wasn't just a place where we grew food, but also a place where we transformed it, and even a place where we could come and enjoy it? You know, what if it was a place that was really at the center of our community rather than somewhere out of sight, out of mind? And so that's really the ambition for the project.
I mean, obviously, one of the themes that we've got going on for TEDx this year is the future footsteps angle. And I think that's obviously very relevant to what you're saying. And it's I don't even think when I arrived here 10 years ago, people would have started to talk about this sort of regenerative way of birthing our food. Essentially, you know, it is the answer, I think, to the very kind of manufactured and commercial way that we have been buying food on the island for so many years, and the fact that only, you know, 2 or 3% of what's actually grown here is consumed here, and the rest is obviously imported, which is just such an antiquated way of doing things if we're going to be a sustainable island and create longevity, I think, and health and wealth and well-being, I think, for everybody that lives here. And I think that's a, you know, an incredible thing that you guys are working towards. In terms of the future footsteps, you know, of that project specifically, and perhaps your role in it, I mean, how would you see that evolving?
I mean, the reason we chose to do this project here in Ibiza is I think it represents, it's almost like a microcosm of what we see around the world. And what I mean by that is, you know, this is an island that has a large number of expats that come from all around the world. And it's an island that used to be, once upon a time, fairly self-sufficient. So most of the sort of food or protein that's consumed here came from the island or from the sea around. Cut to today, since tourism came in the 1950s, 1960s, what's happened is both sort of international trade of food, so buying food cheaper offshore and bringing it in, and also the fact that it's easier to sort of earn money in the tourist sector rather than farming land. The result of those two factors have really like almost collapsed the agricultural economy. So as you mentioned, today 96% of the food we consumed is shipped into the island. And so although that's sort of like really daunting statistic, what it represents is a huge opportunity. There's a huge amount of land in Ibiza that is left sort of fallow or abandoned and needs sort of stewardship and you know, in an ideal world is brought back into production. And so I think that there's a chance to move the needle on a systemic level on the island of Ibiza. You know, often it can be really overwhelming when you're interested in making change, where you begin. But I think this island has the recipe, a unique recipe to create systemic change and then therefore become a model for other people.
You say it can be overwhelming. I think I saw on Instagram not too long ago that you were personally suffering a little bit from a burnout. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, momentous task that you've undertaken to do the job that you're doing and to take the role and the baton, as Rolf says, forward in terms of creating something that is perhaps never been done before here. It is something that the island very much needs, but you're almost, you know, flying the flag for something that's actually very new.
Yeah, I think this is a real challenge when we're working on projects. So we talk about regenerative culture a lot, but it's easy to fall into the high, fast-paced sort of startup culture that we find in many places, and that was the case for us last year as a growing team with increasingly sort of complex operations. I mean, it's for many of us, it's the first time getting our head around growing food, transforming food, distributing it. And I did find myself last summer in a total burnout, and it was a real reminder to practice what we preach. And so, you know, while existing in a system that is moving, you know, beyond too fast, like beyond human time frames, how do we find a way to slow down and to create a culture of care? And so that's definitely a New Year's resolution, and something that we're now really sort of committed to as a team, is to look after each other and find ways to create, you know, rest and respite in the otherwise sort of ambitious goal of bringing this project to life.
I mean, it's a massive role and it's a massive responsibility. But as you say, you know, you kind of probably need to take that in bite-sized chunks and not look at the bigger picture on the daily, because I think ultimately you do get overwhelmed and it is probably feeling like too much. But I think, you know, one of the themes that you touch on in your talk is the fact that this is actually the first project that you've ever really worked on, like fresh out of, you know, your studies. And that's quite an incredible, gigantuan task to have taken on in your very first architectural position.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge of, you know, when you're a student, you get to play with theory and you get to sort of imagine how things could be. And that's definitely the joy of being a student. And I very quickly come to the sort of, you know, how you translate theory into practice and trying to navigate not just, you know, the physical challenges of building something, but the financial challenges of paying for it, or even the political challenges of getting the right licenses. And that's been a learning to swim very quickly, being thrown in the deep end for sure. But again, we've built an amazing team. There's more than 35 people at Hunter's Farm at the moment, working across quite a wide range of different projects, from, you know, experiences to products and on the farm itself and in our kitchens. And so I'm learning a lot from the people around me, and I feel we've got enough momentum and the right team now to really bring this to life. It doesn't feel like we're trying to do, you know, before it was such only a couple of people trying to do too many things. Now I feel like we've got the A team in place.
I kind of just want to play the BA Baracus theme now. What? Oh, sorry, I'm so much older than you. You're just like, who the hell is that? Dun, 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 dun. The 18 theme.
The 18 theme tune. Okay, got it. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Play that now.
Maybe we should have that on the show. I mean, if there was a theme track, obviously we're going to be listening to some wonderful music in between this conversation here on Open Lab. But yeah, if there was one track that you could choose that might be sort of soundtracking your regenerative design experience, what would it be?
So music plays a huge role in my life, and I often find when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I will put on Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby Farron. So I would cue that one in.
Nice. Let's see if that gets accepted by our wonderful editor who's producing this. Thank you so much, Antonia Prosper. How are you feeling about your talk coming up here on the TEDx Deltvila stage at the Palacio de Congreso on the 29th of March? It's a pretty, you know, new experience for islanders to be attending such a gathering of intellectual minds and new ideas, and obviously all the things that TED stands for, which is obviously technology, entertainment and design. And the X stands for community, which is obviously very fitting considering the project that you're working on. I mean, but how does it feel, you know, to have to memorize this talk and to be standing up there? Is this, you know, I know you've done a TEDx talk before.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is I'm just honored to have the chance to be part of this amazing group of people. Just today we were going through the first sort of rehearsals, and it's inspiring to listen to other people, you know, tell their story and motivating to be working together to try and get all of our talks to a place where we're ready to share them publicly. So I sort of go through like those mixed emotions of, you know, I sort of signed up to it because I'm really excited to share, you know, what we're doing at Hunter's and what I'm passionate about. And then at the same time, I'm like terrified of the pressure of having to do that on a stage. But I think it's good to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And I think most of all, just excited to contribute to the conversations happening here in Ibiza. You know, I think it's amazing the diversity that we find in a small island and what people have to offer. And I'm just excited to be part of that.
I mean, I've been to see some of the community talks at Hunter's over the course of last summer, and I recorded a couple of them. And I think, you know, what you guys are doing there in terms of the narrative that you're laying down and showcasing this other side of the island and, you know, bringing in people that people really need to learn from and understand fully, I think, to make these changes that obviously we're trying to do at TEDx Deltvila as well. So very important to be having these conversations. And it's really lovely that you joined us here on Open Lab today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Finn Harries. And this is the second in the series of our special Open Lab TEDx Deltvila radio shows. And you can, of course, buy tickets for TEDx Deltvila on the 29th of March at tedxdeltvila.com. Thank you. Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel.